Mr. Painting, yeah. Reel 10. You described how in this camp it was raining in torrents.
Yeah. Well, we went out to work, and it came in down in buckets full. Well, the French and the others had got their coats, but we hadn't. Well, it got under the edge, got wet through, there was no protection for it. So we went out in the open. We sang all the little soldier ditties that we could think of and the little things that. And it was so bad that the Germans marched us back into camp at midday. And the commandant was at the gate to take the salute. Well, the French and the Russians, they ambled by, you know. Well, we, as we went by, each group, number so-and-so group, highest left, salute the commandant, just as I was on the same old parade. And he paraded us again in the afternoon. He said to us, he said, through his interpreter, he said, you were wet through, discouraged and everything, he said, and yet you march past us. He said, you've discipline. He said, you're soldiers. He said, and you've got the pride of the country in you. He said, I'm a soldier. I respect discipline. He said, I'll treat you as well as I can. And he was as good as his word. But we were only there for 3 weeks in that camp. While we were in that camp, we had... The food was better, and getting the parcels and that, you see. Although it was disrupted with moving from one camp to the other, but we got our parcels. Although he was only there for a short while, you see. And we had some boxing gloves sent to us. And we had... boxing and that kind of thing. And in this camp at Captain Churchill, there was a sparring partner of Georges Carpentier, you know, the old French boxer, a champion boxer. And our man, he was a boxer, you see. He was the welterweight champion of the Wellington Lions, this rifleman who I had to go with and got put to sleep. So, of course, the news had got round the camp, so they had a match. It was only 3 rounds. I mean, our stamina wasn't enough for that. Well, the first round, our man was feeling him, and it looked as though the Frenchman was getting the best of it, you see. But our man had weighed him up. The second round, our man sat into him. In the first round, the French is, ooh, la la, you know, good, you see. And the second round, the note changed a little. The third round, our rifleman knocked the Frenchman all over the blessed ring, and the Frenchman was game. He's tottered about, you know, trying there, but he stuck it. And the French, they were absolutely despair. The difference in the tone to what it was, you know, the first round to what it was the last round. Poor old Frenchman, he was real groggy, but he stuck it, and he was welcome to come into our place and have anything that he wants, you know, come and have a bit of anything that we got in a parcel, because he was game, was, you know, respected him being game. And the jerrys were watching this around the century, and they said, and they used to watch us do it, having our boxing goes, you know, and they'd say, Englander, nix feel lesson. That, you know, was not much food, you see, Nick's field lesson. Feel blood. Too much blood knocking each other's spots off each other. They said, feel lesson. Woo! It was beyond them. They couldn't understand what they'd do if we had plenty of food. But anyway, they didn't come and join us, but they, you know, they had a great respect for us like that, you know. They never got, on the majority of British prisoners, they didn't get their tail down, you see. As I say, if you got your tail down and you thought he was hopeless, well, you simply... die. It was no good. Make the best of it. And the weather was getting better too, and the parcels was coming, and that was it, you see. Well, we were only in that camp a short time, and then we got moved north of the Keelakel again. I don't know where Captain Kirchen was. I think it was somewhere near Hamburg, as far as I could locate, but we never had any chance, you know. But I think there's somewhere near Hamburg anyway. Then we were moved north of the Keel. And we were only in that little camp about 3 weeks. Early in the August, we moved to a camp called Ostertert. And we went up in the train, you see, over the Keel, and we went through Newminster and Newsome along the coast, on the western coast, you see, this time. And when we got by Newsome, we could see the sea, and a German sentry, he said to me, England, England, 400 kilos in the western. You know, to say, well, you're this side of that water there. And I said, well, I'm going as soon as I get a chance. Well, he did a grin and said, oh, that's okay. Well, going up in the train that I was in, there was a map of the railway system which showed the line from Germany into Denmark and just showed the rough outline of the frontier, you see, but no physical features, no rivers, hills or anything, you see, but anyway, that was a guide as to the distance and which is the nearest point of the frontier. Well, I traced a copy of it, a bit of paper and pencil, and I got where we got out, you see, I know where we got out, so I'd got an idea, you see, where we were. And we got to Ostertert, this camp, and it was a small camp. There were only about 400, and we were the only people there, Englishmen. There was no other nationalities at all. In other camps, we had French and Russians and Belgians. But in this particular camp, just us English prisoners, there was little hospital there, a cookhouse and a canteen, and the compound was surrounded by a double apron of wire, like all the compounds are, you see, 10-foot belt of wire, 10-foot high and 10-foot wide, and outside the sentry boxes all round, you see, sentries up in the top so they can overlook the camp, you know, like up on a platform, mm-hmm. so they overlook the camp, and the quarters weren't bad, really. The huts were all right. And we got wash places and proper latrines, which was made it fairly comfortable for us. The only mean of exit from the camp was just one gateway. And on that gate, there was a double sentry always posted, you see. And the guards' quarters were, of course, outside. The our cookhouses and the sick bay and that which we got was inside the compound, you see. And of course the German cooks, like, they were in there, the Germans, who of course they had some of our own prisoners to do the work, you see, but I mean the Germans were the cooks. And it wasn't too bad. Well, I say it wasn't too bad. We'd sometimes get a bit of skilly, and we had to go out to work there. And it wasn't too bad on the whole. And of course, we'd had our parcels, which made us more or less independent of the German food. At night, there was no electricity, but the camp was illuminated by big acetylene lamps, you see. And some of the prisoner of war were employed looking after these lamps, you see, filling in the carbide and filling up the water and that kind of thing, you see, to so it's illuminated. And they had passes to go out to work, you see, past the sentry, you know, so as you say, to go to do the work. They go out in the morning and attend to them, and they go out at night and light them. Well, and worked in the guards' cookhouse, which all the guards' quarters were outside. There'd be some men working in there, peeling potatoes and doing all the dirty work, you see, for the Germans. And that was a good way, in a way. Well, we had to go to work. The ground there was boggy. We had to go about 3 miles to work. making draining this bogland, making irrigation canals, and digging out these channels. Some men would be working in the water. Some men would be revetting the sides, working on the sides, and some on the top putting turf down, you see, to secure it. Well, it was cold there, and I was... sergeants didn't work, but we had to go out for discipline, you see. And it was a cold morning, and I said to a rifleman, I said, "Sam, we've been soldiered together for a number of years in Egypt together, in the same company." I said, I was jolly cold, so I said, "Sam, give me your spade and let me do a little bit, will you, just to get the stuff warm." The sentry come along, I got a little bit of tobacco and I was smoking. The sentry come along and he said, "Two fields brecken, nix feel arbeit." And that was too much talk and not enough work, you see. So I pointed to me three stripes and I said, "Ich on der Officer, nix arbeit." So he went and fetched the under officer, a German officer come along, and he said, "Come mit." I'd come with him, you see, didn't mask anything. Well, he set the pace, he was in front, I followed him, and the trench two paces behind me. Well, after he'd gone a little distance, the under officer stopped, and he said, "Snell, snell." That meant go quicker. Well, of course, I couldn't snell if he was setting the pace in front. And he said, "Nix rauker, no smoking. You want to take me pipe out?" So I said, "Nein." Put my hand up like that, said, "Nein." And this Jerry Under officer unslung his rifle. I think it must have been one they fired in the 1874. It fired a bullet almost as thick as my thumb. Anyway, he knocked pots off me. He beat me with his rifle. Cool. I thought, shall I pick up a pick or a shovel? And I said, well, they've got guns. If I hit him with a shovel, it'll only be a general ride. So we'll get killed. It's no good. I'll be a piggy Englishman, I'll take a beating and I won't flinch. So I stood there and took a severe beating. Well, after he'd done that, he said, "March, march." Well, I marched, you see. And there was a civilian surveyor in charge of the job, you know. He went up to this civilian surveyor and told him. I can't repeat what he said now, but because I was speaking gutturally and quickly, but I know that he was talking about the English sergeant and a Swinehund and Nix Rauker and Nix Arbeit and one thing or the other, you know. Well, while I was doing this, I thought this civilian was going to shoot me. He pulled out a blessed Luger. I thought, well, after the high jump, but I've faced death before. You're not going to put the wind up me. So, after a bit, the honour officer said, "Length march," I left turned, and I puffed my old pipe up and got it warm. He went to take my pipe out and said, "Nix rauker," I said, "Nein." So after I got about 30 or 40 paces from the lads, he said, "Alto Airblime." I had to halt and stop there, you see. And this happened about 9 o'clock in the morning. I had to stand there and face the sun, and isolated at dinner time, our midday essen came out, which was cavit leaves in water. One of the lads brought my bowl over with a few cabbage leaves and a drop of liquor, escorted by two German sentries. He wasn't allowed to hand it to me, put it down on the ground, a pace in front of me, and I pick it up and they went back. Well, I ate the tea leaves, ate the leaves and drank the liquor. And at night, after we'd finished work, my tobacco, I was falling in the rear of the party. I got some tobacco, I lit my pipe and smoked all the way home. Nobody took any notice of me. And when we got into camp, I was put in the guard room. And the commandant of the camp wasn't there, so that the senior under officer was there, and I was astride. An interpreter was there, And this under officer gave his evidence about me being an Ex-Arbeiter, you know, not doing any work, and smoking and wanting, you know. He made it look as though I'd been an absolute waste, you see. Anyway, the under officer said, "I understand," the interpreter repeated. I said, "All right." So I had to give my version. So the senior under officer said, "Well," he said, "he was surprised as an English sergeant doing a thing like that. I should have 3 days solitary confinement on bread and water." So the lads had brought my evening meal over, which was Quaker oats that night, and they brought me a big portion. I suppose they thought I was going to, be for the high jump. So they brought me a good bowl of Quaker oats over, or porridge oats anyway. And at 7 o'clock at night, I was taken over to a small dark cell, hardboard, wooden pillow, no blankets, just as I come in from work, a bucket for purpose of nature, and no light. I was shut in there, and it was jolly cold, jolly cold. I got my pocket handkerchief and put it over my face, you know, a little bit of breath to warm my body. Well, then it'll get cold in my body. I'd get up, and the cell was 4.5 short paces long, and I could put my arms out like that and reach from side to side, although there was a wooden bed there. I'd do these 4.5 short paces and get a little bit of exercise, you know, a bit of warm, and then go and lie down again. Handkerchief over my face until I got cold again. Well, that's how it went on in the night, you see. And daytime, I knew what was happening by the time.